Never know what part of the world it'll come from. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. You're high above today, just like always. We just recognize it more today, Lord. I say we just recognize it more today, Lord. And we speak it off of our lips, Lord. We speak it out of our countenance, God. We allow the dunamis power in our hearts, Father, to speak of you and to draw men unto your throne, that each man would take their own little kingdom and put it under your great kingdom. Father, we are so grateful to be part of your kingdom, to be in your family, to eat at your banqueting table. Lord, you're calling us in from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and from the northwest and from the northeast and the south and west and the southeast, in all those directions, Lord. Calling us in, Lord, to your banqueting table, that we would know you are a God of abundance, Lord. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Everything in you is full and mighty and great and without lack. And Lord, we receive this morning, everything that your Spirit has to give to us, because you have something for us. You have something for us. You have something for us. And Lord, I come into agreement with all those in this house, Lord. Release it unto us. We need it. Release it unto us, Lord. We cry out as a people that needs more. And we're expecting more from you, Lord. We're expecting more from you, Lord. We're crying out today, more. More from your presence. More of your gifts, Father, that we can lavish it on a world that's hurting. Father, fill us up that we can release more of you. Fill us up to overflowing in every way, God, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially. Father, in every way, fill us up. Fill us up to overflowing that we can't help but splash onto people. And when we sin, when we make mistakes, help us to run to you quickly and say, God, that was dumb. Man, that was stupid. What am I thinking? Am I thinking that will please me? That's where the lack is, Lord. That's where the lack is. In you, there's no lack. There's no abundance. No lack of abundance. Father, it's all abundance in you. It's all fullness in you. Help us to not run to the lack, not run to the substitute, but run directly to you. Father, you're teaching us as children, and we don't always obey, but God, we can sure fall in love with you, and our obedience will grow greater and sweeter and deeper. Father, we know it, because when your presence is great within us, we do great exploits. When your presence is great within us, we have great intimacy with you. Yes, Lord, we invite you in today. We need more of you today. Lord, we need not less of us. We need more of us too. More of you and more of us. Not less of us, more of us. Take out the good stuff in us. Highlight the good stuff in us, Lord, and magnify it. Magnify it, Lord. Magnify it to your glory, for your glory. Father, may we be lifted up today and receive all that you have. For you are all that we need. We give you the praise. We honor your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh boy, I'm kicking today. Look out. Lions roaring today. Hi there. How you doing?
We just wanted to show a few pictures that they sent us from our children's home in Rajahmundry, India, because we had sent over an amount for them to buy school supplies, and they sent some pictures of their school supplies. And then they sent a little video of the high school students, which you can see. So these students are all sponsored by us in here. And they're very grateful for, I guess their school year started in July was their new, start of their new year. So that was the LifeTex boy. And we had just sent a batch of letters over there and they received them. They're grateful and they're going to work on writing us back. It takes a little while to translate and all that stuff. But so.
How's that?
Awesome.
Mm. There they are, waving, wave to them. Hi.
So the mama and papa there are Pastor Dewa and his wife Sunitha, and they're always sending their love and their greetings and extravagant abundance and everything to all of us. So, and Sunitha, I believe, is the one who works on these videos and pictures.
Yeah, your knees banged up. Yeah.
I know, they all look older and they all look like they have lots of books for studying.
So. Yeah.
I'm going to hold it.
So,
that's all. Just keep them in your prayers when you think of India. Think of our children's home in India. And the it's 21 or 24. I forgot to look up that number, but our children that are living there. So.
All right, thank you.
You coming? You coming with?
Oh, yeah. So some of us have signed up to be sponsors. And, of course, we've been faithful in that, right? Because we want to make Rachel's job a whole lot easier. It makes it a whole lot easier when she's communicating with them. And if we're turning in our monthly sponsorship. So if you have decided to sponsor one of the children or you got the plea for the extra amount to give towards school needs back in May or June, I think we put that plea out, and you've not responded for your particular child, don't put your head down. Just step into the abundance and give so that they can be in abundance. Have we had all people give towards that signed up?
No.
Oh, say that again?
No.
No, so just check your records and see if you're giving towards that very precious group of children. If you know, you committed to that, just ask Holy Spirit to prompt you and make up your lack if you've fallen a little bit short there or fallen behind or forgotten about it. It's not that you've forgotten about the child. If you've forgotten about your monthly support or your gift for the school supplies, it's just that you might have forgotten to give that amount towards that. It's easy to have it slip your mind when you're giving so much to Frontline anyway. But let me be the one to help Rachel remind you. It's a good thing, isn't it? If we said we want to support the children, it's kind of not so great if we don't follow through with that. So let's just do that. And we know the Lord will bless all of us together as we continue to take care of their needs. And we'll keep getting cool things like this with smiling children. If you met those children, they're so appreciative. They don't need all the electronic gizmos that I need. They're very happy, very, very happy with a box of crayons. They are jumping for joy. So it's a very simple thing. Let's trust the Lord that we can do that. Well, last week, what did we talk about? It was just last week. Normally, it's 2 weeks. What do you need? Oh, we have a Mozambique video? I didn't know that. Yeah, before we jump in, we better. Better not try to do it at the end. Whoa!
Hello, Frontline family from Mozambique, somewhere. We just finished crusade tonight. It was awesome. So many salvations, incredible healings, just one after the other. with just hundreds of people here. Hi, sweetheart. I miss you and I love you. Hello. We all will be home next week, but we just wanted to say hello from the village. Oh, the power of God fell. Holy Spirit was moving so powerfully. It was miracle time. And 3 years ago tonight, I got new lungs. July 28th, Jesus came in my hospital room and gave me new life, new lungs. And he's done incredible things here. So we just wanted you to be excited with us. And we love you so much. Thank you for praying for us. And we miss you and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
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 Wow.
Bye-bye. Woo! Bye-bye. Hi. So I was guarding the bags and I was looking over at the guy being prayed for, and all I saw was part of an eye. It was barely anything. And then as I looked over again, I saw an entire eye, and the pupil was turning, and it went straight. And then I saw Pastor Mary Pat doing the numbers, and he was speaking out what he was seeing, and like I was completely amazed. Like I was just guarding the bags, and I got to see that.
Again, Frontline family, we're back from our 2 hour and 25 minute ride.
How does it make you feel, guys?
We are hungry and having dinner. It's about 12:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And we were in, where were we? Susan Dango. That's the name of the village. And this is our trusty kitchen. Say hello, everyone.
It's very nice. Oh.
This is our dinner tonight. And we are. And we are in the Irish Children's Home in Chamoya, and we just wanted to greet you and let you know that we love you, and this has been a wonderful night. Amen?
Amen.
We'll see you soon. More things to report as the days go on. And we love you all. We love you all.
We love you. We love you. Bye.
Love you.
We love you.
A special love and hello and goodbye to my family, to my love, hello, and also Mikey and Joe and David and Daniel and Christy and Josh and Judah and Josiah and Joey and Jenna and Haley. I love you. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. You can see the team was eating, you know, and you can just tell. Pastor Mary Pat's, let's do a video. Go, yeah, let's. Oh, they look good, don't they? Don't forget to lift them up this last week. That's when the enemy tries to short-circuit everything. So stand with them this last week, and we'll have a prayer time for them hopefully at the end of the message briefly. We can release the children to Kingdom Land. We have any more surprise videos? Oh, gee, how disappointing. That was a cool one. Wow. All that treasure. Yeah. So, last week, you had a little chance to think. What did we talk about last week? Dunamis. Okay. What? Mr. Doolittle. Rick came up after the message and said, what are you, Mr. Doolittle? Have all those animals come to your, come to you? Any more expression of what was last week? We got that. Dynamite. I think Pastor Mary Pat's voice is getting bigger, so our voices are going to get bigger. That's right, we all have to rise in it. strong tower. Okay, so this week we said there would be testimonies from this. Part of it was people being drawn to the dunamis power in us, that it would shine out from within us and people would be drawn to it. That was the whole idea about the possum in the in the grill and so on, was that these even creatures are being drawn to us in some cases. Just like with Noah, how they were drawn for the ark. So what has happened this week? Have you thought about it as the week has gone on? I've heard a couple testimonies as people have approached me. What happened this week? You feel that anyone was drawn to you?
Yeah? Troy's brother Todd Larson was at my briefing, and before we came to Ohio, I had talked with Troy, and he said that his brother didn't have any listings. And when I went to my briefing and got my voucher, Todd was there, and he has two openings.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
hopefully I get a response from him today sometime about the house that I want to look at through him. It's no deposit when you move in, which is pretty awesome. And I'm also looking at a house today where I used to live off of 32nd Street. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So Todd's brother.
Yeah. No,
was
Troy's
drawn,
brother.
Troy's brother, excuse me. Troy's brother Todd was drawn to your hearing maybe, huh? Cool. Something else? Could be along the lines of an encounter or experience. Remember, we also talked about that it's not all about a quiet time with God, but that we should be having an ongoing experience with Him through the day. It's not bad to have a quiet time, but we can't depend on 456 quiet times in a row to do a whole lot if we're not engaging with Him after those quiet times. Anyone remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that truth or is that not truth? Does that make you uncomfortable? We're not putting down quiet times. We're just saying that's not the end all. Having that little bit of time with God at the beginning of the day, I give Him the first fruits, and then I give Him the first fruits. That's what a lot of people do, and they go throughout their day and they can't understand the battles and everything else. When you have a quiet time, it's supposed to be a great day. Really? Is that true? Plenty of people had quiet times in the Bible, and they didn't have good days. Have you read through the book of Psalms? David had all kinds of quiet time with God, and he had lots of challenges. Caves, a bunch of renegades he had to turn into mighty men. And he had plenty of quiet time. He had some of the best quiet times I've ever read. And he had some of the most amazing challenges that anyone's ever had. So just because we have a good time that we give to the Lord at the beginning of the day doesn't mean the rest of the day goes well. Don't forget to take Him with you. What did he say to Joshua? I will be with you wherever you go. What's he say to all of us in the New Testament? I will be with you wherever you go. We're going to look at Moses this morning. What did he say to Moses? I will be with you. That's important. Well, I don't forget about God during the day, just when I'm mad, upset, depressed, down and out. When I face a challenge, I have a little challenge remembering that He's there. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the very times He should be the strongest in us. That's when the dunamis power gets turned on. That's when it starts, is when the heat is turned on. You know, the fuse is lit and the dynamite can blow. And we can have what we need in those moments. Maybe you've heard Pastor Mary Pat say many times, there should be no down days. How would you like to live with her? I start to have a little bit of a moment, and she says, no one should have a down day. Well, sometimes you want to hear that, and sometimes you don't necessarily want to hear that. How'd you like to have Pastor Mary Pat with you all the time, smiling? And you start to have a moment. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I just realized something, and I'll tell you in the message, so don't let me forget it. I'll say that again. I just realized something, and you'll know that's the time to have me say it. If I don't say that phrase, you have to remind me, because it was something. I ran out of the shower, grabbed the towel, and ran over to my notebook just to write it down. We've talked about revelation in unusual places before, right? Somebody was talking about some kind of a flushing. I don't know when that was, Tuesday or whatever, at their house. And they got some revelation. Got some help from the Lord. We won't go into that. Any other testimonies? Oh, good. I was hoping there were more.
Okay, well, I guess speaking of dunamis power and in a joyful, awesome setting, I don't know if any of you, I assume many of you were here on Tuesday night, but we started into a time of testimonies and testifying, and at first, you know, it was one person would come up, and it was a great testimony, and then there'd be that awkward pause, like, should I go up? Should I not go up? And then it started building and building as more people testified. It was just very encouraging, and the joy was building, and just the dunamis power of the testimonies was building, and it was really awesome. And then we ended up having this really, really long time of, I think like the rest of the service then for the most part was testimonies, and it was, everyone was feeding off of, you know, just the previous testimony and glorifying the Lord, and you know, the Lord is powerful, and He's working and moving in our daily lives, and it's amazing, and other people are getting to see it. And that was, I think that was just a really great, all those individual testimonies put together was just an amazing testimony of the Lord's, of the dunamis power the Lord has given us to go out there and to usher His kingdom into the world. It reminds me like the, I don't know if you watched the Olympic ceremony on Friday, but they, each country had one copper or bowl thing, and then when you put them together, or then they lit them on fire, and then basically all of these copper bowl things lit on fire were smushed together, and then that created one even bigger fire, which created the Olympic fire, I don't know what you call it. The torch, thank you, the torch. And that, when I was watching that, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That is the fire that we have in each of us, that dunamis power. And even in worship today, when we all come in unity and when we put that fire together, when we put our testimonies together, that type of dunamis power, like, wow.
Yes, Lord.
And last night, the same thing happened when we were getting ready to, when we were praying into worship before Bible study, one person started praying, and then someone else, and then someone else, and it was just amazing, and there was joy, and it was powerful intercessory prayer. And then also this morning, Teresa and Ashley were blowing those ram horns, shofars, and it was just like joy, joy. And they started laughing then, and there was just this joy that the Lord was pouring out. And so I came up there and I started praying over Ashley, and then I got filled. And that, when you said dunamis power, that's immediately what I thought of, was just the power in just everything the Lord was doing. So,
yes, Lord. I saw some other hand.
This life of re-encounter is really weird. I see Laura's daughter
on the bus and going to see my mom. You know, my mother's sick. And she says, why don't I go to Frontline anymore? I said, well, I just moved back. And I said, well, how do I get, do you have the number? Well, I don't have the number, but I know my mom does. Okay, well, that didn't help any. So I was going to see my mom. I went to see my mom Saturday. By the way, she has cancer. And by the way, they got it all, by the way. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And I usually take the 102 to Canton. And something says, no, try the 125. I got on the 125, and I seen the two girls, her and the other one.
Amber and Rebecca.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Amber and Rebecca. I said, you guys look real familiar. And then she says, Frontline. I go, hey, I'm trying to find a way to contact them so I can come back to church. She went in her pocket, gave me this card. I called on the bus, and I got dialing. Is that you? Got him right on the phone. And I was like, wow, you know, all the stuff my mom's been through and I've been through, and I never lost my faith. You know how people say, why have you forsaken me? You know, he doesn't forsake you. You forsake him, yes. You know? And I go, wow, it's so weird. Okay, first I met one that asked me about Frontline. Then I meet these two on the bus, a bus I never take. And I go, wow. God says, get on the 125. And I'm going, man, this is the longest bus. I don't need this bus. I get on anyway, and these two are here. So these two hooked me up with him, which is why I'm here. So I thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's have a couple people run to her and pray over her and her mother. Who will do that? A couple people run. There we go. Yes, Lord. Well, you need a mic.
Normally, I usually try to get the bus at 5:30, but I decided to wait and take it later. And so me and Courtney saw her, and I normally like to leave earlier for Bible study. So but both ends, God just worked it together.
Absolutely. He factors in our lateness sometimes.
I just want to share about some dunamis power in my life. The Lord drew Pastor Bill to me and used him to bring peace. And so I was down in Columbus this week taking the bar exam, and Pastor Bill came, stayed with me, and we brought peace. That dunamis power became kind of our key word, our key phrase, I'd say, a lot. We said it a lot, didn't we? And
absolutely.
Then, the Lord, so I want you to understand, the Lord brought him to me. He brought what's going on here to me. And then the Lord used me there to take what I took and give it to other people. And so, the very first morning, I walked in, and I remembered in May, our family, we went to Columbus, and we just prayed over the building, and we broke off anything that the enemy was doing, and we welcomed the Holy Spirit to just reign supreme there. So I walked in, and there was no fear. And I walked in, and I knew, this is right. This is my season. This is my time. And I walked in. I think I'm the only person that had a smile on my face. And I walked in, and I said, Lord, there's a few people from the law school that I really want to see because I want to bless them. And the first person I walked in looked to my left, and there they were. I went over and said, let me just pray with you. And let's pray, because we're going to shift what's going on in this place, and we are passing this exam. Yes. And then I got in, and, you know, a few complications. My seat number, I was number one. And thank you, Jesus, because Mom kept saying, and she even called me from Africa. She said, you know, you're going to be number one, buddy. You're going to be number one. And it's like, okay. And so I sat down at seat number one, which didn't make any sense because it was, you know, I walked in and it's 200, 218, 219. I'm thinking, where is my seat? Because I'm not in the 200s, but I know that I've got to be before the 200s. So where am I? I was seat number one. And I know. Thank you, Lord. And then I sat down with a girl next to me. I said, hi, I'm Mike Wheeler. She says, okay, hi, I'm Heather Johnson. I said, just so you know, we're going to pass. And she goes, really? I said, yep. I said, I have a whole church praying for me. And I said, you can step into that with me if you'd like. I said, and she looked at me. I said, no, really. So my parents are the pastors of the church. And we have, I said, a whole group of people that are praying that I'm going to pass. And I said, you, by default, you get to pass too because you're at this table with me. I said, this is a great table for you to sit at. And so then each day, this Heather, who I don't know whether she was saved because, let's just say my spirit didn't resonate that she was, but if she isn't, Lord bless her. But nevertheless, she kept seeing people from my law school come to me asking, you know, hey, I wanted to find you, you know, and I would just speak peace into their life. Mm. And I would pray with them if they came to my table and just bless them. And so it was that dunamis power saying, you know what, I'm confident in who I am right now, and I'm going to transfer that confidence and that peace to what's going on. And so each evening I had this massive amount of energy because you're just running on crazy energy based on the time test. It's all designed for you to fail. The whole exam is designed for you to fail. And so I'm not failing, but nevertheless, I had a lot of extra energy. So I went running, and each night I ended up running to the Ohio State House, the Capitol building. And I know you can't see my little picture here, but dunamis, one of the words in the Greek when I looked it up, means possibility. And the state seal is right in front of the Capitol building. And it says, with God, all things are possible. And how true is that? With dunamis power, with our power, with what God has given us, with possibility, as long as you have God, Ohio, with God, all things are possible. And it was just stepping out into that and saying, yes, absolutely, this is my portion in my season. And it was not about me, but about being able to bless those around me. And so finally, I know I'm telling you lots of stories, but before the first night, we were walking back from dinner, and I saw somebody with an Akron Law School shirt on, which I was trying to avoid people from Akron Law School because they tend to have a bit of crazy, and I don't really want to deal with their crazy. And so I saw this guy. I was like, oh, no. So let's just ignore him. Let's just ignore this kid. And as it turns out, he got on the elevator with us, and I didn't know him. I'd never met him before. He was a day student, and I was an evening student. And so I said, hi, who are you? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. The next day, I ran into him again. And then that night, I ran into him again. And then the next day, I ran into him. And then that night, I ran into him again, which is Wednesday night. And finally, he's like, hey, no, I'm going to go swimming. I said, you know what? I'm going to come swimming with you just because it's weird to go swimming by yourself. And in the pool, he goes, I'm so glad that you took some time to talk to me. He goes, I'm really nervous. I feel that my parents are going to be getting divorced when I get home. He goes, it's horrible because my whole life, you know, it's been this constant in my life. And he goes, I feel like I need someone to talk to. And I'm so glad that you're here, that I can just talk to you, because I'm in fear that the moment I get home, they've been waiting. He goes, I feel like they've been faking it just so that I could get through the bar exam and get through law school. He goes, do you think they're really going to get divorced? I said, no way. You know, I just spoke out into his life a little bit and gave him some hope and said, you know, here's my phone number. Call me if you need me. And I'm here to talk to you. And that really is my goal. You know, realistically, I probably shouldn't have been in the pool. I probably should have been studying, but I felt led to be where this kid was, which is ironic because I wanted to avoid him as much as possible. but then at the end of the day, it was, you know, thank you, Lord. And then I met other people that I never knew from other schools that were just taking the exam, and they were drawn to me. Are you taking the exam? I'm thinking, like, is there a sign above me? How in the world do you know? But yeah, I am. And they just would talk, and they let out their issues, and the Lord would let me bring peace into the situation and say, you know what, you are going to pass because you were right and you were right and you were right and you were right, and here's the reason why. And it was a blessing. So anyways, you all have dunamis power that I could tangibly and palpably feel wherever I went, even in the moments where I felt like, oh no, I don't know this. You know, that's a great moment for a bathroom break. When you don't know something, say, okay, Lord, you speak to me in the bathroom, I know it. So, you know, you run to the restroom and say, Lord, what do I do? And he can speak to you wherever you are. And just like you were saying, in those hard times and those low times, step in, and then he provides strong. So, sweet. Thank you for praying.
Awesome. Come on. That's good stuff.
Did he
pass? Well, he won't know for
yes, he did.
3 months. But yes. The answer is yes, but he'll know in 3 months. Were you? Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see it in your eyes.
I'll stand up.
I looked and he was leaning.
throughout this whole week,
at my internship that I'm currently at right now. I've noticed that a lot of coworkers and assembly team that builds the machines that we make, they always like go up to me and they're like, "Wow, you laugh a lot. Why is that?" So, I like really didn't have an answer. It's just like, it's the way God made me. So in a sense, it kind of just like gives me a revelation that it's like the little things that you do that brighten up people's days. And for the fact that I'm just now realizing that everywhere I go, I'm always like laughing and just have like a weird sound when I laugh. It's just, to make people laugh is kind of like a good thing. So laughing is Duna's power, I guess.
Good medicine.
Yeah.
Laughter's good medicine.
That too.
You're passing that out.
So, yeah.
You're a pharmacist. Spiritual pharmacist.
With Pastor Bill having two messages in the last 2 weeks on dynamite and dunamis power, my son-in-law called me Wednesday and said, "We're going to set off some dynamite." And being that I had set off dynamite when I was a child, I was expecting a big explosion. So Mary and I drove down to the quarry where they were. It's a stone wall, and he needed to make sand to ship sand. So he's going to dynamite it and then run it through a mill and make sand. And so we went down there. He told us to be down there by 2 o'clock. They had worked from 7:30 in the morning until 3:30, and they were drilling with drills like you would drill a well, and they drilled 60 feet down, and I don't know how many, 6 or 8 holes, filled them with dynamite, and when it was finally to take the blast, it took this mountain and just moved it over, and there was almost no dust, and just brought it down. And so we were learning, and we were trying to pray, what all are we supposed to learn from this? And it's that, you know, we see a mountain that can't be moved, but God can help us move the mountains and see the stones. But go be precise in what we're praying for, and see the dunamis power that God will do.
Awesome. First the natural, and then the spiritual. Sounds like a series, you know, now that we have a physical representation.
Have you got any emails from Josh from China? Joshua? Has he emailed you back when you emailed him?
I don't think.
Because he's emailed me a couple of times now. And he's been asking, you know, what Christian artists to listen to, because on his iPhone in China, he had, you know, all secular American music. So I told him I mainly listen to Christian music. And so he's asking me for artists to listen to. His latest email, he said, "Every time I get an email from you, I'm so happy." Mm. He's just really, really hungry for more of God, and really drawn to us. That encounter we had with him on the train really, really affected him. So Ashley and Mike and, you know, all the others that took time to talk to him, it really, really affected him. So
he's the camouflage?
Yeah, Army dude.
Oh, yeah. I did get a email last night from one of the girls that came to know the Lord on one of the trains. And she said, "Oh, I haven't been on my email in so long. And there was a message from you. Thank you so much." And very excited to be in contact. So they're still coming in. Anybody else? Or is it Moses? Yeah, that's right. Oh, boy. Yes, Father. Help us today. Yesterday, a few of us were working at a house and tearing out a bunch of roots. And I got in and I was really hammering at one particular stump. And they came over and People look at me and they say the most interesting things. Oh, it looks like that's a message. That's going to be a message. I'm working on a stump, and they say, that's going to be a message someday. And then somebody else came up and said, no, that's a series. That's going to be a whole series. And so my, you know, my mind started going, but I haven't landed on anything yet, so I guess that's for the future. Something about roots or something. We've never had any messages on that, have we? But we'll get to that some other time. But today, I think I'm going to pass out some preventative medicine. You ever do that, Doc? Preventative medicine? Stop smoking. Maybe eat a little bit less. Eat more leaves. Not to have heart attacks. That's a good thing. Don't have that. Hebrews 5:11. Here's what we're trying to avoid. If you have other testimonies that come to mind while I'm teaching, we'll take those on Tuesday night, so bring them. Bring them. Hebrews 5:11. This is rampant in the church. It says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Things are much easier to explain when people are ready to hear, wouldn't you say? It's much easier to talk with people that are ready to hear. But a people that is dull of hearing, a person that has become dull of hearing, oftentimes we say that familiarity breeds contempt. That you hear the voice, but you're so familiar with it, oh, I know what they're going to say about that. I know pretty much what they're going to say on that issue and that situation and problem and this thing in my life, so I just won't hear it, or I won't spend any time with that person because I pretty much know what they're going to say on that topic. The point is not knowing what they're going to say. You may know that, but you may receive some of the dunamis power that they have to give out in saying that, the anointing that they have to give out in saying that, the impartation they have to give out in saying something, the life that they have to speak into your life. And the enemy's saying, yeah, just don't approach that person. Don't receive from them, because you pretty much know where they're going to land on it. That's called dull of hearing. The other thing, Matthew 13:10-17, that we're trying to prevent with preventative medicine this morning. Matthew 13:10-17. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Whoa, mark it down. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. He's talking to the disciples here. You think they heard real clearly? But he says they're hearing. You think they saw everything Jesus did and understood it? No. But he says they see. They're willing. Their heart is not dull, as Isaiah, as it's quoted from Isaiah in verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. So we don't want our hearts to grow dull, our hearing to grow dull. It's very easy for that to happen. If you've been around the body of Christ for very long, oh, I know pretty much what Pastor Bill's going to say on that. I know what Pastor Mary Pat's going to say on that. Oh, I know what Dylan will say on this, and I know what Troy's going to say on that, and I know what Cynthia will say on this, and Lawrence will say on this, and I know. And we know, and all we're doing is shutting down our hearing. When someone speaks to you out of a heart of love, when they're looking you in the eyes and they want to give you something from the Spirit, it's the hungry person that is able to grab onto that in the Spirit. Just because you hear it doesn't mean you get it, is what he's saying here. Just because I hear it doesn't mean I'm getting it. Over the years, I've gotten so much from you people, and you don't even know it, because my ears have been open. I've been waiting. I got a couple suggestions this week from two different people that could be very beneficial for this body. Because I'm listening. I'm wanting my ears to be open to what you're saying. Holy Spirit can use you at any moment to speak to someone, speak life into someone. I'm one of those someones. I'm listening when you speak to me. I hope I can say that to Pastor Mary Pat all the time, because sometimes on the internet or newspaper. I'll work on it, though. But when we meet, when I see you, when you come up and talk to me, some of you are hesitant. You shouldn't be, because I'm taking in some of what you're saying, and it's going to change this body. It's going to help this body. That's a good thing. You as well should be listening to spiritual leaders in such a way that they can be a guard to you. There are so many good promises in the Bible about listening to good spiritual leaders. Now, those that lord over you, you can kind of say, okay, I get the flow of that, and you do not have to listen to them. You have my permission. But you better make sure that they're lording over you and they're not just saying something you don't like. That's a different matter. If they're saying something that you don't like, but it hits home, then you're supposed to listen. You're supposed to listen. Therefore, helping you. A good shepherd is shepherding with sometimes a little nudge from the staff, right? Over here, or over there. That's where the living water is. That's where the good pasture is. They're not trying to hurt you. Oh, over here, there's a cliff. Come, everyone. Like lemmings, over the cliff, please. It'll be a lot of fun for me to watch. You know, that's, some people have that view of spiritual leaders. That they're just, you know, they're just trying to control something in my life. Really? We don't have time for that. We only have time to give out good to your life, something that would help you, not try to control your life. Most of what I say to people is, well, have you asked the Holy Spirit about that? I was going to. I asked my mind first, was that okay? Tell you what, how about involving Holy Spirit in this? That's my suggestion. What do you think my suggestion is? Involve Holy Spirit in it. But even if I say that over and over and over again, when I say it to you in your particular situation, I'm expecting life to flow into you for that decision. It's not just, oh yeah, he always says that. Pastor Bill always says that. Have you asked Holy Spirit yet? I know he's going to say it. I can almost wait for the moment and he's going to say it and I can match it. But the thing we're missing is you hearing it without a dull ears and dull heart, like it's fresh manna. There's impartation in that. There's anointing in that. There's life in that, and you can receive it. fresh, new. You know, when the manna came down every day, some people got, they were like, oh man, this stuff's getting old. Wait a minute, God's dropping bread from heaven? That never gets old. I don't know if you know. If you know, my friends, that doesn't get old. God dropping things from heaven, that can't get old unless you just have a dull heart, dull hearing. The old, if you're feeling like, wow, yeah, they do that worship song all the time. Be careful. It's done with freshness every time. A new way of, especially here. You never know where it's going to go. Because we're asking Holy Spirit, each of the worship leaders, more and more and more, where do you want to take this? Where do you want to go with this? It should be fresh every time. It might start out with the song that you're familiar with, but it's going to go somewhere else. The same thing with a service. I love it. If the testimonies overwhelmed the message today, we would have gone with the testimonies. You know my heart in that? It's happened before. I have gone to my computer and shut the top because we had so much that was fresh from the Spirit of God. What I had was fresh, but it's still going to be fresh next week. The manna can still fall, and it's still going to be good. But some of those people, they got used to the manna. Here comes the manna. Yeah. Boy, this stuff tastes the same every time. Really? No, it doesn't. It depends on your heart. If your heart's open, it doesn't taste the same every time. It's going to taste new. Because manna doesn't really have a taste, they say. So if your taste buds say, wow, this is filet mignon. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm in France, and I'm in the desert. Oh, la, la. Love it. Hey, look at that oasis over there. You know, you can receive all from God and beyond, and your taste buds are tasting manna, but you're seeing steak. You know, or you can just say, oh, that's manna, same old stuff, same old thing, you know, come in the front line, you know, sit in the same old place because the same old stuff's going to happen and the same old people up there and same, 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 same. Even what is alive can be the same to you. But there are people who are going, man, that was a different service. What? Seemed the same to me. Yeah, that Dunamis power stuff. I didn't get a whole lot out of Pastor Bill. I don't know what they're talking about. It can be as fresh as you want it to be. It can be as powerful, as dunamis as you want it to be. Isn't that true? Depends on, is your heart open or dull? Are your ears open or dull? Are you seeing with his eyes or are you looking with your eyes? Are you looking with the Spirit's eyes that's inside of you, the willing Spirit, or are you looking with the flesh? You'll see things mightily different. Mightily different. You know that a lot of people that took the bar exam this last week, they didn't go home saying, I'm going to pass, I have passed, in Jesus' name, I declare it, I decree it, and I'm decreeing it for the people at this table. There aren't a whole lot like that. Because it's same old, life's the same old, same old. Most people in the States are bored. I don't know if you noticed. We got all the gizmos, all the good stuff, all the weekends off and the vacations. And, you know, we can go to the islands or we can go. Yeah. And they're bored to death. Sometimes when they get there, they're bored to death. Why? Because life is in relationships. If you have a lot of relationships, all these things can be helpful. Why do you think Facebook is so popular? It's relationships using technology. And people have that all messed up. I think they get on there and they show themselves, you know, in different poses. Here's my profile picture. Oh, I changed it 7 times this week because I had a different pose. Maybe what they should put on there is, you know, and many do, picture somebody else, somebody they met. Hey, I met this person. Put them on my profile. They are a unique person. You should get to know them. They're not me. They're somebody else, but I met them. They're treasure to God. And I met them this week. So I put them on my profile. I put them on the Hall of Fame profile right there so everybody in the Facebook world can see my new friend. Ooh, got quiet. I put my friend on Facebook. I think it stayed the same, my profile picture. It's me and a crocodile. So, you know, I have a ways to go too. So if we're going to avoid dull hearts and dull hearing, we need preventative medicine. And I find it in an ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, there were people that had ongoing conversations. Moses started a conversation at the burning bush, and it goes all the way through basically the book of Exodus, where God is talking to him, he's talking to God. It starts at the burning bush, and it doesn't end. It just keeps on going through the rest of his life. Each of you have had a burning bush, whether you look at it as your salvation experience, or you have several burning bushes maybe, and you look at other times, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is what I realized this week. Moses was 40 years old when he had the burning bush experience, the encounter with God at the burning bush. I was 40 years old, met Pastor Mary Pat. Pastor Mary Pat was my burning bush experience. This is how it worked. We were on two different sides of the city, didn't even know each other. 16-year-old girl introduced us together. We end up at her family's Christmas Eve celebration. So Mary Pat's brought her family, I brought my family, and we were at a third person's house, their family. And we're all just invited to sing Christmas carols and have a good time. Well, some of you know, I was at that time saying I was a single parent Apostle Paul. I had been divorced for about 3.5 years, took my children under my wing and went forward, and God had healed my heart, and he'd done so many amazing things in my life that I was like, wow, you probably want me to be an example of this, because I don't know this many people that are single parents and that they're just charging ahead like this in life and seeing God fill in all the holes and do all the healing in their heart and everything. So I'll be the single parent Apostle Paul. Sounded good to me. The phrase just kind of, you know, fell off my lips really easily. Single parent Apostle Paul. So I had this great idea. It's kind of like Moses' idea when he killed the Egyptian in the desert. Looked around. If you read it, he looked around to see if anybody was looking. Bonk! Kills this Egyptian and buries him. Now, Moses at that point, according to the New Testament, knew he was going to be the deliverer. So here was Moses' plan. I will kill the Egyptians one person at a time and bury him in the desert. That was Moses. And look around and see if anybody saw. Well, somebody saw, or they saw in the spirit, because they mentioned it to him when he started acting like the deliverer after that among his own people. Saw a couple of them having a little argument. Hey, what are you doing over there? What are you going to do, kill us? Like you did that Egyptian? I didn't know anybody knew about that. I better run, because now he finds out Pharaoh knew. So he ran 40 years. 40 years. Trying to do his plan first. Kill one Egyptian at a time. God's plan, by the way, was to drown them all in the Red Sea altogether. One big swoop of getting rid of Egyptians that would bother you. Drown them all in the Red Sea. All at once. Much better plan. Should have got on that plan first, Moses. Wouldn't have wasted 40 years. But as I've shared with you before, God's always on plan A if you're after his heart. Moses was after God's heart. He just thought he was to be put on the never-to-be-used-again shelf because of his mistake, his sin. But God always was plan A with him. You're going to be the deliverer. Okay, you tried it your way. Didn't work out. I tried it my way. I said, I'm the single parent Apostle Paul. And I go over to this Christmas Eve gathering, and I see Pastor Mary Pat and her children. I had talked to her on the phone, never met her in person. And I thought, wow, she's a very nice lady. But single parent Apostle Paul, I know what I'm doing, God. I know I'll please you. Boom. But her reaction there was, gee, this might be the person I'm going to marry. We were on two different ends of the spectrum. I don't know if you heard that in that. She asked that the first time she meets me. Now, it wasn't that I was such a, you know, dynamically amazing person that she just couldn't. It's my daughter. Okay, is that on the tape? Did that make the tape? Okay. But even the person that was hosting said, you got to be kidding, to Pastor Mary Pat when she said, I'm considering whether this is the person I'm supposed to marry. And the woman went, you're kidding. Did you see the way he was dressed? I thought it was supposed to be a relaxed time. I came in kind of a sweatshirt, you know. And they're all dressed up, both the other families. I'm like, okay, wow. So this woman goes, you see the way he's dressed? So I'm on the beam. She's a nice lady. She's even pretty. But I'm on the beam. Not going to knock me off my beam. So a week later, I thought, wow, her family, you know, they're kind of in a situation where they have a church split and they had a family split before that. They're looking for a body to attach to. They're not sure where to go, whatever. They don't really want to go through the church split while the split's happening. I can understand that. Okay, hey, they could come to that thing we have at Tuslaw High School on New Year's Eve. We have a big party and, you know, shoot baskets, and she has two boys. Man, they could come to that. So we, you know, talked to her. Hey, how'd you like to come? Like, yeah, I'll come. I'll bring the boys. Super. So I'm out in the parking lot, and she says, wow, thanks so much. I said, oh, you're welcome. That was great. You know, I'm still boom. And she says to me, well, you know, I know Jeff's old enough, my oldest son. He could probably put the girls to bed and everything, and I'm going home. Could you come over to my house? She said quickly after that, I have a letter I want to read to you from God, that I wrote to God. Excuse me, not from God, that I wrote to God. Okay, I'll do that. So I went home, you know, got everything arranged at home, went over to her house. This is, you know, New Year's Eve after everything has dropped and all that business. I mean, it's getting into the morning hours. I thought, okay, this better be short letter. Single parent Apostle Paul needs his sleep. He's got a lot to do. It's going to be big. She reads this letter. I mean, she puts the boys to bed, you know. She gets out this letter. Okay, she really is going to read a letter. She really wrote it down. And she starts reading this letter to God. It was so amazing, so intimate. I looked into her eyes. I could see her heart. One of those kinds of things. I still didn't have the romance going or anything. It was just, I could not believe this person was so intimate with God. It was like my burning bush. You know, I was like, I want some of that. I thought I was really radical. But just that letter alone, just her reading that. Now, at the end, you know, I said, thank you very much. I went my way, but it affected me for days. I was, man, I've never heard anything like that before. It was kind of that burning bush that's like, oh, I need to be on the altar or something here. This is amazing. Amazing. So I say all that to say this. You might be able to identify that or several times in your life that you need to see what God told you at that time, because it began a conversation. And that conversation is supposed to be ongoing, daily, through your life. It was started then. Maybe it was salvation. Maybe it was baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was both together. Maybe there were several times. I don't care. He does it unique every time. But it began a conversation where you began, you were supposed to become hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. So you have to decide before God, am I hungrier and hungrier and hungrier, or am I kind of dulling out? Am I really just kind of dulling out? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm hoping, but I've just kind of dulled out. Dull of heart, dull of hearing, that's more me than this whole hungry thing. Then this is for you. Because Moses, he was in that dull out back on that desert in Midian. He had, you know, come there to a well, and a bunch of women were there, and the shepherds came along, wanted to scoot him away or shoo him away, and he became kind of the mini deliverer. No, go ahead and get your water. I'll stand guard here so they don't shoo you away. And the father of those girls, those daughters, appreciated that so much, he invited him over for dinner kind of idea. You know, hey, come on over to the house. Let's see what's going on here. So he meets Moses and says, basically, well, you know, I think he had some appreciation in his heart for dealing so nicely with his daughters when the shepherds were just trying to get rid of them. Oh, you can have one of the daughters. Here you go. How about that? You know, back then, you go over to have dinner with someone and they just, oh, here's a daughter. You know, you've been looking for God, you know, God, who are you going to give to me? Who are you going to give to me? Just go to dinner a few times back in those days. You never know. You might give a daughter or two. You know, you got to be careful, but they were generous. So he gets this daughter, and he's, you know, he just runs along. He's watching sheep, just going along, and then all of a sudden, bam, the burning bush hits, and his life is transformed. And by the way, he didn't do so well at the burning bush. I don't know if you noticed. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married the daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. This is the beginning of Moses' life. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, and her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may come and nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. His own mother gets paid for taking care of him now. Probably, you know, not doing that great. They were making them more and more slaves in this time. Now she's got a job taking care of her own child. That's how God turns things around. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now she's got people taking care of the child, or even of more means, taking him right into the king's palace, so to speak. This is one favored mother. And she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He went the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other, and he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, Who made you a prince or judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And we described that about him being favored there. The guy had a favor over his life. From the time he was too small to take care of himself. He's in a basket. He's screaming and crying in the basket because he doesn't have mom to feed him. Now imagine that. Some of you mothers know what that's like. Okay? He's in that basket screaming and crying. And Pharaoh's daughter goes, oh, what a cutie. Now think about it. She knew that he was from the Hebrews. Her first reaction should have been, oh, my dad, he just gave this decree to kill all the male children. And the midwives, they went against that decree courageously. And God blessed them because of it. Now we got Pharaoh's daughter going against this decree. Who's in charge here, Pharaoh or God? Does God know who to pick to favor you, to favor the deliverer? So he's delivered once with the basket thing. Then he goes on the backside of the desert. Here's deliverance number two. Chapter 3, Exodus. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Now Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why, the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. He had a long ways to go, because he's going to be doing this a lot, spending time with God and having a face-to-face relationship, in the spirit at least, because in some places it says he couldn't look on God, so I don't know. Then Moses said to God, hid his face and he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to be a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. What caused God to come to Moses in the burning bush? It wasn't just for Moses. It's never just for us. It's always for other people. It's always to help other people, to deliver other people as well. If you have an encounter with the Lord Most High, if you hear his voice speaking to you in a significant way, it's because you have a significant destiny that has to start right now. It has to start right this minute. It had to start with Moses at this burning bush in this season, after 40 years, because the people were crying out to God. And he loves to answer the prayers of his children. They're saying, don't you see, Father God, what's going on here? We've become slaves and it's getting worse. It's time for the deliverer. Even if it's plan A for God and Moses thinks he's on plan B, he's going to bring him over to plan A. Because it's not just for Moses, the burning bush. It's for what God is going to do in his destiny, And the same for us. When we have a significant thing happen to us spiritually, when we see something new about God, we have a dream, vision, picture, word, we get something special out of the Bible, we hear the audible or inaudible voice of God, it's for some reason for us, but it's for a bigger reason for us to touch other people's lives. There are some that don't want any of these experiences. They say, this is all we need. This is it right here. We've got it. As long as we obey it, God will be pleased. This was to be used as a foundation of God's ongoing conversation, but some people have shut it down. As I was looking through this, some of the research for this message, I ran across a website. I mean, it's like page after page saying why all the stuff we do is off target. That it, you know, that some of these big names in the past, they were cessationists, so that's what we should be. Because obviously, Jonathan Edwards knew what he was doing. People were shaking in his meetings. They were falling on the floor in terror. The fear of God gripped them in his meetings. But apparently, something was lost in a translation somewhere. Either they're wrong about him, and they don't know him like they think they know him, or they've interpreted something from his writings or something. But what happened in his meetings was just the opposite of what they're saying. That it's all that stuff doesn't happen. And don't start shaking and baking because, you know, it's off. That is off. That those things happen in all these New Age groups and Hinduism and all that. You don't want to get attached to that. Because the question was, would you know the difference? And my answer to that is, you betcha. That's what discernment is called. Because when we're in India, which most of them have never gone, I'm sure, you can tell the fake from the real very easily. You can tell someone that has a demonic twist when they're on the floor because they're writhing around like a snake. Maybe foaming at the mouth or, you know, you can tell the difference. When we're in Africa, you can tell when someone is, you know, receiving from the Lord in a special way, or they're twirling around and you're trying to keep your hand on top of their head because they're doing the twirly-whirly. And it's demonic. They need deliverance. They need help. So these encounters that they're saying we shouldn't have, some groups, you're having them like Moses for a reason. It's the beginning of something big. A season of his destiny coming to pass. You want his destiny? Pay attention to the burning bushes. Pay attention when he wants the ongoing conversation. Don't do all the talking. That whole quiet time thing. You pray and then you talk to God. I don't remember anything in there where they said, and then you listen. You were supposed to get it from what you read in the Word, and of course the Word of God speaks to you, and that was how they got around that. But the thing is, he speaks beyond this. This is the basis. This is the letter. But who wants just one letter? I want to hear him more. I want to hear him fresh. I want to hear the fresh revelation. I want to hear the fresh manna. And Moses was getting it. Let's see how he handled it. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Okay, let me get this straight now. He just goes in the desert and starts a burning bush for everybody back in those days. Let me get this straight. I saved you to be a deliverer, rescued you out of a river. You were raised up by Pharaoh to be a deliverer. You started on your own planet and work out. Now we're 40 years later. And all of a sudden you say, oh, I'm not qualified. No, it's just chapter 2. Maybe you felt that way about something. And you've been afraid of chapter 2, or you didn't want chapter 2 to start, or maybe you do now, or whatever it might be. Moses was trying to make excuses for chapter 2 in his life to start. Oh, God, you don't really get it here. Why should I? I'm not qualified. Remember, murderer, murderer. I'm not qualified to lead the people out of bondage. And God's response, verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God in this mountain, on this mountain. We're right here, right now. I'm giving you pictures, a pretty big picture, a mountain. Drive a stake right here. Why do you think you're in this place? Why did you bring the sheep over here today? It's because we're going to have this conversation. It's an ongoing conversation that you have shut down, Moses, for 40 years. It might have been kind of on your end. Oh, God, you know, bless the sheep today. Thanks for, you know, the fact that it's going to rain soon. But he wasn't listening, ready for what God was going to say to him. Or he would have had a whole lot less to bring out as far as, I'm not going to really be good for this. Can't you pick somebody else? Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now, they may say to me, what is it? What is his name? What shall I say to them? This is called the route of excuses. They're not terrible questions. It's just that if he had that hungry heart, that receiving heart, not a dull heart, not a dull hearing, he would be saying, where do we start? It's a whale of a lot better than what I've been doing right now. When can we get started on this whole thing, this delivery thing? I remember it way back, like 40 years ago, I thought it was done. I thought it was short-circuiting everything when I killed that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. You do know about that, right, God? But it doesn't matter. I'm still on plan A. This is awesome. Worship you. Oh, this is great. But no, he asked him a bunch of questions. Who am I going to say is sending me? The last time I tried to be the deliverer guy, they laughed at me. And said, well, what about that Egyptian you just killed? Why should they say anything to me now? I mean, they haven't even seen my face. They don't even know that I was around the palace. It's 40 years later. I'm a nobody. I'm a sheep herder. I'm coming out of the desert. And I'm going to go back and say to them, oh, by the way, I have been told by God to lead you out of the land of Egypt to the promised land. We're going to worship in that mountain right over there. I saw a burning bush. You convinced? You convinced yet? He's thinking naturally, isn't he? Very naturally, what people would say. This is exactly what he would expect them to say. But he's not thinking supernaturally of a God that has already thought this all out. I'm not telling you this like, oh, gosh, I didn't think of that. They're going to not accept you. Oh, I didn't think of that. Of course he has, and he has for us. He's thought of all the roadblocks. At one point, I thought divorce was a roadblock. And I'm glad to report to you, it's not. I didn't want a divorce. I wanted a marriage. It didn't work. Okay, well, had my shot. I guess I'll do something simple for the kingdom. No. I was still on plan A. I was still on plan A. I got over that because I wanted that wiped off my forehead, and it was. Not an issue. Moses didn't think that could be wiped off his forehead, murderer. But it wasn't an issue. You're still on plan A, bub, because you're a guy after my heart. And I have already planned out your life, and guess what? This is part of the plan. You're going to get everything turned around. So here's Moses. They won't accept me. Who should I say sent me? And even if I say that, they're not going to accept me. That's what he's saying. The God of your fathers has sent me to you. That's what you're supposed to say. What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Oh, good. This is going to go over well. Who's sending you to us? Whose authority are you under? I am. I am that I am. I am. Sam, I am. No. Okay, so great, God. Now they're going to think I'm off my rocker. It's not a problem to God. It's only a problem to you. God furthermore said to Moses, then you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders. Oh, they're always a good bunch. Of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will pay heed to what you say. And you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt and will say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. Now, please, let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. I will grant the people. He's prophesying over Moses. You have any prophecies over your life? If you know the source of it, and he says they're going to happen, who are you to come up with roadblocks and exclusions and excuses? Who am I to come up with any of that stuff? Because with Moses, he just laid it out. They're going to accept you when you go back. I know, it's a miracle. Elders accepting you after you've been gone for 40 years and you come up with this story of a burning bush. I know, but don't worry about it. They're going to accept you. And when they accept you, you're going to go to Pharaoh. He's not going to accept you. But guess what? I have more power than Pharaoh, and I'm going to cause him grief through you. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. Now wait a minute, the slaves plundering the slaveholders. It's a little much, God. Come on. We're going to walk out with all their treasure, gold, silver, all that. The people are just going to ask, and the people that are Egyptians are going to go, sure, here, take my jewelry set. take that golden idol and melt it down and take it with you. Here you're going into the desert. Just take my stuff into the desert. On the way to the promised land, huh? Hey, yeah, go ahead. Just take my stuff. And Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Now, if he's questioning God about all this stuff, why are you grabbing the tail of a serpent after you backed off of it? And God says, grab the tail of the serpent. Oh, okay, no problem. But you're not overall listening to him. You're saying, oh, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? Grab the tail of the serpent. Sure. And you some of us may be doing that. We'll listen to certain details from God, but he's actually telling you your life is going to amount to something, and you're going, no, you don't know who you're working with here. You don't know the people I'm around. You don't know my family members. They're not going to accept me as the deliverer of the household. Even though I was the first person that became a Christian in the household, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to me. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. Now he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. But he put, help, turn. It jumped. So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. The water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It is not I, is it not I, the Lord? Then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Excuses. He just turned a staff into a snake and returned it to a staff. He just took his hand, made it leprous, and restored it. And he's saying, now I can't talk. God, I can't talk. How am I going to go to Moses? I'm not even able to even speak what you're talking about here. Ever felt like you couldn't speak in public? Why do you think we open up the microphone often? So you can see that when you're giving a testimony to the Lord, people really listen to you. They're not checking out your grammar. They're not checking out your accent. They're checking out the testimony you're giving for the Lord. It says to Moses, go talk to the guy. I can't speak. I have to say it a certain way, right? He's getting over his religion. He's getting over his boxes. God is destroying them one at a time. But he doesn't know it. He's answering everything. I'm going to take care of it all. I said I was going to be with you. He said it at the beginning. I will be with you. I will be with you. That's what answers all these things in your destiny. I will be with you. I will be with you. That's what knocks down all the roadblocks. That's what helps you sky up like an eagle, and you can look down on all those things that would stop you And not stopping me. I'm flying above all of them. That's supernatural rules over the natural. But I wasn't very good in school. Guess what? God wants you to write a book. I wasn't any good at English. God wants you to write a book. I failed English. God wants you to write a book. Whose power would that show? God's. Because you failed English. I've got some difficulties in my body. Put your hand out to heal. Why? You're going to become a person that God uses to heal. But I have problems in my own body. Put out your hand to heal. Because he wants to turn all of it around. Heal us and heal others. Who would get the glory for that? Well, I was sick when I started putting hands on some people. God would get the glory. You've never been on a mission trip. Downtown Canton, overseas, those are all mission trips to me. Going to your neighbor and speaking to them, that's a mission trip. I've never done anything. I never stepped out to do anything like that. But God's calling me to go talk to my neighbor. I've never talked to him, or I've just said hi to him or something. Go. Watch what he does. It's going to be amazing. It's a guarantee. If he told you to go and you've never gone and done something before, that's the time to go, yeah, he's going to stretch me. He's going to have me be used. It's going to start my destiny. This could become a habit. A very good habit. Don't do that. Stop it. Come back. Now, this is the part to get. If you didn't get anything else. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Moses was grieving and quenching what God wanted to do by putting the Holy Spirit on him. You know, they just had the Holy Spirit on them back then. If he worked inside of them, he wasn't there long. It was just a kind of a come and go thing. We have Holy Spirit in us all the time. It's not a come and go thing. It's a stay and work through thing. So God's answering all his questions. He's providing everything in abundance. Yeah, God got angry at Moses. They're going to get this face-to-face thing down, but he was upset that Moses would not receive the abundance he was trying to give him, the destiny he was trying to give him. I just want to use you, Moses. I just want to work through you, Moses. And you keep making up excuses. Fine, I'll give you Aaron to speak for you, be the mouthpiece. But that wasn't my best, because Aaron is going to be there. When you get down there from the mountain meeting with me, Aaron's going to be down there allowing the people to make an idol. And he's going to go, what could I do? They're an evil people. There's your help from Aaron. Oh, he did the speaking thing. But why are you wanting to take second best when I'll just work my best through you? Why are you trying to be the single parent apostle Paul when I can attach you to the most wild woman in the universe? What's the matter with you? I finally got it, like Moses. And only because Jesus died on the cross for my sin and covered all my faults was God not angry with me. He was wanting to get me going again, get me on to my destiny, get me to the nations. And I'm going, I thought I'd kind of, you know, do it this way. I have a title, Single Parent Apostle Paul. And I was good at English. I might write a book about it, if it turns out. You see, there may be something that each of us is kind of saying to God, oh, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I should do. Some of those might be terrific. They might be sanctified. They might be right in line. Go ahead, throw those ideas up to God. But if there's any, you know, kind of silence on the other end of the phone when you're talking to God about an idea, just maybe, just possibly, that's not the one to go with. And that single parent Apostle Paul thing, he never did say back to me, great idea. I never felt, you know, like, yeah. I just thought that made sense. The mind said that makes sense. Moses thought it made sense. I can't talk. I'm been with the sheep. They don't even listen to me very well. Have to hit them with the staff. How am I going to hit Moses or how am I going to hit Pharaoh with a staff? He's not going to like that. He's got one of those golden ones. So God even provided for Moses to get him going, provided him a mouthpiece. Wasn't his plan, wasn't what he wanted for Moses. But Moses was so dull in his heart, so dull in his hearing. After God says, I will be with you, that should have been all that it took. And instead he made all these excuses. He couldn't even enjoy the beginning of this whole thing. Now you know the story. He finally steps into it. He goes to Pharaoh with Aaron. They speak out to Pharaoh. Things start happening through Moses right and left. It leads to the opening up of the Red Sea and all these amazing things through his life. But when they made it into the desert and he goes up and he meets with God, he's close with God. Face to face with God. He glows so much the people can't handle it. He's too bright. Maybe there's some people here in Frontline, they're just a little too bright for you. It's like, back off. I mean, like your passion, but not 24/7. Might be a problem there. Because the people then, they couldn't handle him. He was too bright. Put something over your face. So he would take it, he'd speak what God spoke to him, and then he'd cover himself. Cover his the glory that was shining off his face. He'd go in to meet with God and have to, you know, come out with a cover over his face. Because the people, it's just a little too much. A little too bright there. A little too passionate. A little too crazy. It's kind of like when you tell people about what you're learning about God in other places that haven't been to Frontline or haven't been part of the river or not part of kingdom things, and they're in the dull zone. You're not going to get the reaction, maybe, from a lot of them that you hoped. There'll be some open ones. There'll be some hungry ones. They'll want to hear more. They might want to come and see what God is doing. They might want to hear what he's doing in your life. But you're going to face some of those. They have a dull heart. They're in the natural. They're not going to understand. You're too bright. If that dunamis power is inside of you and it's operating, you're too bright. If his destiny is beginning to be accomplished in you, you're way too bright. But it doesn't matter. God still got across from Moses to the people what they needed to hear. He still got it done, even though they couldn't handle the bright stuff. They still listened overall. So the question this morning is, are you, this morning, that's long gone. The question this afternoon is, do you have an ongoing conversation with God? If you do, there's going to be encounters and experiences. It's not going to just be, let's study Moses' life. Isn't that nice? We know about Moses. Oh, I know. Let's turn it into a children's storybook. So it's almost like the children are reading fairy tales by the time it's done. But if they're having the encounters that are somewhere on the planet, the same that Moses had, they'll think it's actually something that happened. It's an account, not a story. It's not a Bible story, it's a Bible account. They'll know the difference if they see it in us. The children see it in us. If they see burning bushes happening and we tell them about it. If we have a dream or a vision and we encourage our children to do the same thing, they're not going to have as many excuses as we've had. They're not going to try their own deal like we've tried and then end up, you know, many years later getting on the real track that God wanted us. It's still plan A, but we could have invested all those years. Good news is he redeems the time. But we want these children, the treasure of the church, to have actual encounters and experiences with God similar to Moses. We have to believe that they still exist for us, no matter what's happened in our life, that we're still on plan A, no matter what has happened. Well, this happened and I don't feel like a good father anymore. This happened and, you know, what kind of an example am I to the body of Christ anymore? Had a divorce. Well, this happened. I haven't been paying attention to God for 10 years, 15 years. He probably has forgotten about me and my destiny because I've screwed it up, gone the wrong direction, haven't gone enough in the right direction. I didn't even miss the direction. Other people have just done too much to my life. They've come in and stained me by what they've done to me. I don't have a big destiny now because I have to deal with their failures before I can even deal with my destiny. Because they are so intertwined into my destiny, and unless I get that done, obviously God can't use me the way he really wants to use me in my destiny. Poppycock. That's a bunch of baloney. He didn't let Pharaoh mess up his destiny, and Pharaoh was a pretty powerful guy. He didn't let Aaron mess up his destiny, and Moses invited him into the equation. He didn't let 40 years of being in the desert mess up his destiny, nor murdering an Egyptian trying to complete God's plan as the deliverer. He just kept delivering him so he could deliver others. Did you hear it? He just kept delivering him so he could deliver others. He delivered him when he was in that basket. He delivered him when he was in the desert at the burning bush, started the deliverance in his life, and you can see he needed it. He has a lot of the same excuses we have. And we need deliverance. We need God to come fresh inside of us and deliver all those hurtful things, those roadblocks that we sometimes put within ourselves. Or we think there's so many roadblocks on the outside of us that we'd reach it if there just weren't so many roadblocks on the outside of us. Knock them down. You've got the dunamis power of the Lord Most High living inside of you. Moses didn't have that. We should do better than he did. By far. I'd like to give you an assignment. Sometime in the next 3 months, read the book of Exodus and put yourself in the place of Moses. Get into that intimacy that he had with the Lord. Just by proxy, saying, hey, I want more of that. I want my face to shine. And then read what God has given to you in John 16, 5 through 15. John 14, 16 through 18. Holy Spirit and what he does for you, reminding of you of the things that Jesus did. Just read anything about the Holy Spirit, you know, even if you didn't catch those. What's he really doing for you? What's he doing inside of you? Are you letting him out to affect the world around you? Have you had your burning bush with the Holy Spirit so that he's fully released in you in dunamis power? If you have, return to that bush and see what God was trying to say and see if you're doing it. Because he wants an ongoing conversation. You say, well, you know, I had that burning bush, but I didn't really step out into it. Great, now we can get started again. Let's do it together. This time, do my plan rather than your plan or whatever happened there. Quit making the excuses. Let's go. You're the one I chose. You're the one I want. No, not picking somebody else for this one. You're it. You're my plan A. You're the deliverer for this group of people that you're related to, that you're going to impact in your lifetime. Think how many thousands of people you're going to come into contact with the rest of your life. Now, take all the relationships that they have, that if you impact one of them, you see why God wants you to get to your destiny. That multiplication through all of those relationships that you have direct contact with touches a whole bunch of people that you don't have direct contact with, but those people do. See, if it's actually God, it's going to go way beyond the people that you just meet or touch or talk to or whatever. It's going to go into their households and just blast across the earth. So that one person that you meet, I just want to stop for the one. When you stop for the one, they represent generations of people. They represent a bunch of people on the earth right now. And if they start talking about what God has done in their life to those people, think of your ministry. Pooh! I expect to get to heaven. I hope you do. And we get up there and people that were on the train in China, they're saying, yeah, you talked to me on that train in China. And then I talked to my brother-in-law and then he talked to them. Just from that one time that you were on the train, you shared with that one person. There's not, you know, God wants to use us so much in such a simple way. We're thinking we have to speak to stadiums. He's saying, speak to one person that I've pointed out to you. And it could win far more people in a stadium because you can go deep with that person. You can begin a relationship with that person that will affect generations after generations. You getting it? I had to get it. This is good stuff. Our lives are worth amazingly more than we're giving credit for God. He created you for a reason. He wants you to affect such a mass of people. And we're thinking we have to speak to a mass of people to get it done. No, speak to one, the one he puts in front of you. It's incredible. Moses finally spoke to Pharaoh and it changed history. He finally stepped into the deliverer role. He had to be rescued first in order to do that. But he finally started gaining the confidence. And then he gained so much confidence when he's with God on the mountain all those hours. You would think, you know, he does do it. He worships him. He gets down on his face. But he also rises up at one point, I think it's Exodus 34. And he says, oh, God, you don't want to wipe out this people. What would that look like to the Egyptians that you just delivered them from? Now, that's a sanctified argument. That's a Holy Spirit came upon him and he came up with that and it matched God's heart. And God said, it says in the Bible, he relented from what he was going to do. He partnered with Moses. Moses became so bold in the presence of God after he took him through the process, after he healed him up and rescued him so many times. He finally stepped into this boldness enough to speak to God, his friend, it says in Exodus. face to face to the point that, yes, he worshiped him, but he also was bold in knowing God's heart. This is what you really want to do. You want to show your name to the nations. So you don't want to wipe out these people no matter what they've done. You want to show grace. What? Grace in the Old Testament. Ah! Awesome! That took Holy Spirit. That took Moses agreeing with God's heart. And when God said, that's my heart, okay, won't wipe them out. He relented. What in the world does that mean? God changed his mind? I don't get it. It's way over. But something happened in that relationship. He became so bold. And what's it say in the New Testament for us? That you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And some of us go, no, I'd come on my nose. Humbly, because I know I'm just not what it takes, you know, to be at the throne of grace without. But Moses got there. And he didn't have Holy Spirit all the time. You can get there. The Father's pleased with us coming boldly before the throne of grace. That he can partner with us in the solutions for our lives and all the lives that that affects. Father, we just pray that into each person today, God, that we won't be afraid to just come before you and get to know you in such a way and not make excuses about our destiny. And Lord, if we haven't been making excuses, show us what the holdup is. If we're feeling like we're in a long-term waiting pattern, because I just see that you want to break things loose in this season with so many of us stepping into our destinies in a powerful way in dunamis power, Lord. You're not holding back. You're not really even waiting. It's us. We need deliverance. We need rescuing. Rescue us, Lord, that we can begin these dynamic destinies or continue in these dynamic destinies. You've already taken us a few steps, and now it's time for it to break loose. Whatever the case, Lord, show us your glory as Moses prayed. Show us your glory. Humble us, but also in the midst of that, while we're in your presence and we know how valuable we are to you, how you have arranged this entire destiny for us, we'll be bold in bringing forth our needs and the needs of those that we're ministering to, God. And your abundance will flow, your favor will flow. In order to have your kingdom built, we believe it, we receive it this morning. We thank you, God, for a people that are willing to listen past noon, because it's long past noon. This is the longest burning bush, Lord. But we're thankful that you want to speak to us, and there are ears to hear that aren't dull. There are hearts to hear that aren't dull. There are those that want manna every day, and they're allowing it to turn into what you want it to turn into. Feasts. Feasts in your spirit, Lord. Convince us you're all about it. You're all about us. You treasure us so that we'll step out in great exploits for your name, for your glory. We give you the praise. Speak to your people, Holy Spirit. They're your people. Speak to them. We bring them to the throne of grace boldly. Speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them. The joy. The joy of receiving your fullness. We bless them with that. We impart that to them. We give it to them, Father. Knowing the dust that we were made of, we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Famous fly dance Frontline wrote a couple of years ago, which has become a crowd favorite in Mozambique. We normally do the dance first with our dance team and then invite just a few people to join for a second round to dance with us. We like to call it the dance competition. Each dancer received a prize, a Bible in Portuguese, campalanas for the women, and each was given a prayer book. It is always a delight for the Mozambicans to receive such a gift. Later in the night, after several dramas, Troy began to preach the gospel to our new friends, and 100 people became born again. Thank you, Jesus. Soon after that, Pastor Mary Pat came up to the front to call forth the sick. She had something to say. 3 years ago, to the date of this crusade, she was miraculously healed of malaria and received new lungs from Jesus. With a story to tell, Pastor Mary Pat prayed over many with malaria who later testified of a difference in their bodies. Many people with poor eyesight or no eyesight at all were completely healed. One young gentleman named Edmund had an accident with a sewing machine which caused his left eyeball to be severely damaged, leaving him barely any eye in his socket. After prayer, the progression of his vision improved from being able to see light to seeing Mary Pat's face to counting fingers. My God's not dead, he's surely alive. On this bright Sunday morning, our team had the honor of ministering to a church called Central Ipico. These people were so beautiful and welcomed us with such love. The small church was packed with children and adults ready to listen and receive. Pastor Mary Pat preached an incredible, encouraging message about the goodness of our Father in heaven. 10 people present gave their lives to Jesus, and the entire church came up to the front after a call to have more of Holy Spirit. Each one passionately cried out and lifted their voices to heaven as they worshiped the Lord. Afterwards, we were able to pray over the sick and see every person touched by God. The power of God was so strong and people were uplifted and regained greater vision and strength. A young woman coughing was touched and said she could breathe and sing without any pain. Another young woman could move and walk on her leg with no pain after receiving prayer because of a car accident she was in. One precious elderly woman came to the front and with the most lit up countenance to share a vision she had of Jesus approaching her with a cross. She was so overwhelmed with joy. A young 12-year-old child named Paulo was handicapped with clenched fists and curled up feet, was miraculously touched by the Lord. After praying and singing over him, he was able to move his fingers in front of him and stretch them out, all of which he was unable to do before. You deserve the glory, honor, and praise, Jesus Christ. Whoa! Yeah. Were there pictures up there? Oh, wow. You know, often in Africa, they say about their finances, God is my credit card. I think after being in a meeting like this, they're probably saying, and God is my healer. God is my doctor. That's why witch doctors and witches are rampant, because before they see the power of Jesus, they're just looking for any old power. They'll take dark power because of their desperate situations. But you can see that this brings joy, and the other brings devastation.